Well, let's open our Bibles to Mark chapter 9. Our study today is Mark 9, 2 to 13. You'll find it on page 1074 in your pew Bibles. Here we have the great transfiguration of the Lord Jesus Christ that stands like a mountain, just like the Mount of Transfiguration, at the center of Luke's and Matthew and Mark's gospel narrative. And it's very instructive in a number of ways. You see Jesus associating with Moses and Elijah, the two greats of the Old Testament. That tells us a number of things. It reminds us that those people died. And yet here we have a picture. You say, what's it like for Christian life after death? Well, here we have the spirits of these Old Testament heroes. They're in fellowship with the Lord. They're aware and they're involved in the work of God. What a wonderful picture. We also see the relationship between the Old Testament and the New. It's very lamentable when many people persist in saying, well, the Old Testament has very little to do with the New, and Israel's one thing, the church is another. Well, clearly, the religion of Moses and Elijah was Christian. It was centered on the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And great as they are, imagine how fascinating for these three disciples to actually have seen the spirits of Moses and Elijah, and yet the chief point they wanted us to know was the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. No sooner does Peter, in his habitual folly, say, well, let's worship all three of these, that Moses and Elijah disappear, and Jesus in his glory is set forth, the glory of the only Son of God, and God himself speaks forth in his approval. It reminds us that when Jesus was incarnate and set aside his glory, as it were, that was not an actual loss of divinity. And he is able, at his will, to shine forth in all the glory of his deity, how we should worship him. Of course, at the end of the passage, Jesus wants his disciples to remember that he will be glorified on earth, not by spectacular displays. He doesn't want Peter to tell people about this until later on. He will glorify himself by dying on the cross as a savior for his people. Well, with these things in mind, let's give ear to the reading of God's holy, inerrant, and life-giving word, beginning at verse 2 of the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9. And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became radiant, intensely white, as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter said to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. For they did not know what to say, for they were terrified. And a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud, This is my beloved Son, listen to him. And suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone with them but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, he charged them to tell no one what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept the matter to themselves, questioning what this rising from the dead might mean. And they asked him, Why do the scribes say that Elijah first must come? He said to them, Elijah does come first to restore all things. And how was it written of the Son of Man that he should suffer many things and be treated with contempt? But I tell you that Elijah has come, and they did to him whatever they pleased, as it is written of him. The grass withers and the flowers fall, and the word of our God abides forever and ever. Amen.